God's word, I ask you to stand. Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 1. Luke 23 and verse number 1. Keep in mind the hell that he went through for you and I. You say, preacher, that's a vulgar word. No, that's a Bible word. That's a Bible word. Whew. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Why ain't it, preacher? Because it didn't hold Jesus down. Luke 23 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they, Luke 23, verse number 5, and they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching them throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And then he questioned with him in many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. And the chief priest and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Father, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you that this is Resurrection Sunday. Lord, I thank you this morning that Satan is a defeated foe. Lord, I ask you this morning, whoever is sitting here right now and hell's got a grip on them, Father, and heaven's got a grip on them, I'd ask you this morning by the Holy Ghost that you'd break that grip from them, Father, and let go of what the world's trying to give them, and they'd get a hold of heaven this morning. Father, I want to get a hold of heaven this morning in the Holy Ghost. Father God, I don't want my own will done in here, but I want your will done. Father, if there's one that's lost this morning, they need to be saved. I pray that as they understand what the hell week that Jesus went through, that they may come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that you would calm me down, Father. You would correctly let me preach this word, Father, that I would not do what I would want to do, but I'd do what you would have me to do. Father, I understand and I realize this morning that I'm in over my head. Father, if the Holy Ghost don't step in, nothing won't happen. Lord God, if the Holy Spirit don't preach this, there'll be no conviction. Lord God, there's no man alive can put another man under conviction. It only comes from the Holy Ghost. And I ask you this morning, as we preach thus saith the word of God, that you would encamp angels around us this morning, Father. Lord God, them 72,000 angels that Jesus could have called when he was on the cross, won't you just let them camp around in here this morning? Won't you let 72,000 angels come down and minister to our hearts this morning? Father, I love you. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Father, I know he went through a lot on that week. And Father, I pray this morning I never take it for granted for what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Father, I love you and I thank you. Thank you for the blood. Bless these people. Bless this word. And if they be one lost, you'd save them, for it's eternally too late. Have your will and way. If there's a backslidden Christian in the house, Lord God, they're backslidden. They need to get back to where you're at. Father, I pray this morning that you'd draw them as well. Lord, I pray this morning when the invitation comes, whoever needs to come, they'd walk this way. And they'd do business with an old-timey God. Father, you've not changed. You're still the same. The Bible says you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father God, I thank you that you have no beginning. And I ask all this in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I thought about this week, Hell Week, and what Jesus went through, there some said it is the passion of Christ, and some say it's a glorious time. But I say unto you this morning, as I studied this week, I want you to know that my Lord and my Savior, is when he come into Jerusalem on Sunday, and he come on through on Palm Sunday, I want you to know it wasn't no cakewalk. Hey, they wasn't having nothing more, but they wanted to crucify him and kill him. But I want to lead you into a place this morning, and I'm talking talking about Hell Week, I want you to know that our military, the Navy SEALs, they have a week that they call the Hell Week. And you may be a Navy SEAL in here this morning. Hey, but before they can get through graduation and get where they need to be, they have a week in their life, and it's called Hell Week. And I want you to know when they go through that week, it starts on Sunday and it ends on Friday. And as they go through that Hell Week, I want you to know they go through that Hell Week in their life, and they have to endure fatigue. Hey, they don't get to sleep but about 3 hours in a whole entire week. And not only do they go through fatigue, but they go through pain, they go through pressure and even sickness. Hey, they get to a place there, some of them quit. And you can quit. You don't have to finish. You can get to that place in your life when the Navy SEALs go through that era of their life. They can get there and they can quit. They can bow out and they can give up. But I say to you, when Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, when he went through that Hell Week for me and you, hey, he didn't give up. Can I get amen? Hey, he didn't back down. Hey, he didn't get out. Hey, he gave on what he had to do. Friends, I want you to know, as he went through that Hell Week, he didn't go through that to be a SEAL, but he went through it to be the Savior. He went through it to be the Savior of all mankind. I want you to know, when he went through that week and he went on through, he had nothing to prove. Them Navy SEALs, they got something to prove if they are a man. But I want you to know, Jesus had nothing to prove, but he had everything to pay. Hey, if he wouldn't went to Calvary, our sin debt wouldn't have been paid. Our sin debt wouldn't have been paid, and we'd still have to pay it some other way. But I got good news this morning. Hey, he paid the debt. Amen. Hey, he paid the debt this morning. But I want to show you the week that he went through. The Hell Week that he went through for you and I this morning. I want you to know, number one, he was arrested for nothing through that week. Not for one reason was he arrested. He hadn't done nothing wrong. If you'll turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 47. Hey, Jesus hadn't done nothing wrong, and they arrested him. They arrested him for nothing, friends. I'd ask you a question. What would you do if you'd been arrested and somebody was going to take you to jail? Hey, you'd be mad. You'd be upset. But I want you to know, he got arrested for nothing and had done nothing wrong. I thank God for this week that we're in. He says in Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 47, he was arrested for nothing. And look here, it said here, what he says here in Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 47. I love this, what the Bible says. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12. You know what he did? He come and he denied Jesus. He sold Jesus out. And oh, Judas, he come to this place. And I want you to know, he told him, he said, for 30 pence, I'll sell the Son of Man out. I'll sell the Son of God out. Hey, if you'll just give me a little money, I'll sell him out. I got good news this morning for old Satan. Hey, this preacher ain't for sale. Hey, I want you to know this morning, he's been too much bought from me. Hey, he paid my debt on Calvary. Oh, to him I owe. Sin and left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, I thank God for that this morning. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas and one of the 12 came, and with a great multitude with swords and stays from the chief priests and elders of the people. And I want you to get this. They arrested him for nothing. A great multitude come to him, and they come to him with swords. But in Matthew 26, 55, you know what Jesus said? He said, you're coming to arrest me. You're coming to find me guilty for something, and I've done nothing wrong. I've been in the temple with you. I've been teaching with you, but you're treating me as some kind of thief. Friends, I want you to know, when they come to arrest him, hey, I want you to know, he didn't have to go down, but he did. He did. He did it for you, and he did it for me. You know why he was arrested and hung on that cross? Because he loved you and he loved me. This morning I want you to know, Jesus was guilty of love in the first degree. That's why he had to go to Calvary. He was guilty of love in the first degree. Hey, he loved you and he loved me. No matter what I'd ever done, no matter how sinful I'd ever been, no how dirty I'd ever got, he loved me. While I was yet a sinner, he died for me. Amen. Oh, I thank God for that this morning. He was arrested for nothing, but he was arrested for me. Oh, he hadn't done nothing wrong, but he was arrested for me. I see something else in the text. When they arrested him for nothing, there's a great multitude that came. They came with their swords and they came with their staffs, and they thought he was going to be a threat, but they treated him as a thief. But Jesus went willingly. You know what Jesus told him here? If you'll look in the book in verse number 53 of Matthew 26, you see what he says. And Jesus says, thinkest thou that I could not now pray to my Father? He said, you don't think I could pray to my Father and he shall presently, right now at this hour. I don't have to wait right now at this hour. Do you not think that I could call on my Father and he'd send these angels from heaven? He said, I could out. I could get out. I could give up. I don't have to go to the cross, but because I'm going to do what the Father has asked me to do, I'm going to go to the cross. Have you ever thought about that? He could have called 72,000 angels, but he didn't, because of you and I. You You say, well, preacher, I've always heard the song sung, they could have called 10,000 angels. I got good news this morning. The Bible says he could have called 12 legions of angels. A legion being this, 6,000 angels. 6 times 12 is 72. He could have called 72,000 angels, but he didn't. Why didn't he, preacher? Because he was arrested for you and I. He was found arrested. He was put to that place for you and I. And he says this as we look in the text, and I want to move on. Not only with that hell week that he went through, he was arrested for nothing. Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to get arrested? Can you imagine how embarrassing it is to get arrested? I've been there. You know how embarrassing it is to get arrested? One thing, they put it in the paper. One thing to make sure everybody knows, and they sure want to plaster it on Facebook. You do something good, it'll never make it. Oh, man. Come on now, talk to me this morning. Come on now. You put something good on there, it won't never make it. But you get something bad, and they'll plaster it everywhere. You know what it was? He was arrested. He was arrested, and they was going to take him somewhere. But then I see here, they bring him to be accused. Not only was he arrested, that's one thing, but now he was accused falsely. Not only was he arrested for nothing, he didn't do nothing wrong, but now he's fixing to be accused falsely. And then they come to him, and you know the two things that they accused him of. He says here, they brought him before the chief priest, and they accused him. One, they accused him of this, saying this, that you did not have to pay taxes. Look what he says here in verse number 2 of the text. Jesus being accused all the way through, and he hadn't done nothing wrong. Look what he says here, and if you will, with me in the text in verse number 2, and they begin to accuse him. Not only did they arrest him, but they accused him. And they begin to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. He said, hey, he's told us we ain't got to pay Caesar his due. But you remember what the Bible says, and I do too. In Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 17, the Bible says, Jesus said, give unto Caesar what's Caesar, and give unto the Lord what's the Lord's. You see, even he was telling the truth, and they was twisting it on him. But I want you to get this. Not only was he arrested for nothing, but he was accused falsely. Number one, they accused him. Tell him you don't have to give to Caesar. But you know what really got him? They accused him of being the Son of God. They accused him of being the king. Saying, you are the king. They accused him of that. He said, did you say that? Look what he says in verse number 3, thou sayest it. What are you talking about, preacher? If what they was accusing him of was right. He was the king. He was the Lord. He is the Lamb. He is the one that was slain for you and I. But look here what they said. They not only accused him falsely, accused him of teaching that you didn't have to pay Caesar, but they accused him of blasphemy, that he was the Son of God. But I wrote this down. I want you to get this. Just because they did not believe did not change that he was the Son of God. And I say to you this morning, he is the Son of God. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 62. I want to go here with you. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 62. The Bible says, not only was he arrested for nothing during that hell week of his life, but he was accused falsely. I'd ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been accused falsely for something in your life? Have you ever been accused for something? You say, I'm innocent, man. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Or I want to be forgiven. I want that off my past. You know what? Man can't forgive you of your past, but the Son of Man can. The Son of God can forgive you of your past. Look what he says here in Mark chapter number 14 and verse 62. And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. As we go back to our text in Luke chapter number 23, we see he was arrested for nothing. We see that he was accused falsely during that hell week of his life. But on this Thursday night, and here's where I want to go. Thursday night before he was crucified on Friday, I want you to think about this. It's one thing to be arrested. It's one thing to be accused falsely. But it's something else when you've got to appear before your foes. He's come to the place in his life, he's been arrested, he's been accused, and now there's three people that he must appear before. Number one being this, being Caiaphas, the high priest. When they took him before Caiaphas, before they took him to him on Thursday, they took him to the high priest. Now I want you to get this. When they took him to the high priest and they took him before Caiaphas, he was the high priest and he was part of the Sanhedrin. On that Sanhedrin, on that court, here's what it would be. They told Moses, you find you 70 men to set on that Sanhedrin. They kept doing it here. They said 70 men on that Sanhedrin, and Moses would be that one, which would make 71. There were 70 men sitting on this, telling Jesus Christ that he was wrong and he wasn't doing right and he wasn't telling right. Friends, you know who that was telling him that you're not king and you're not Lord and you're not the way and you're not the truth and you're not the life and you can't overcome broken marriages and you can't make the woman that's got an issue of blood set free and you can't set the drunkard free and you can't set the dope head free. You know the one that says you got to live the rest of your life in the shape that you're in. Friends, it wasn't the world saying that. It was the church saying that. They said, you are not the man that can deliver us. And he went before them 71 men. And when he got there, I want you to know this. You know what he told them? He said, I am who you say I am. I am Jesus Christ. And you know what they did? They vehemently got mad. And Caiaphas sitting there. He's sitting on his throne. Friends, I want you to know there's only one person on the throne and his name's Jesus. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Where's she at? Nursery. She told me over a while ago, she said, now don't you get up there, you go up there and you calm down now. You calm down now. We was in North Carolina. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm going to share with somebody. We was at a guest church, going to get up and preach. And they got singing. I got coming unglued over there. I got to squalling, got to shouting. It wasn't but a minute I felt Kaylee over there. She rammed me in the ribs. I turned around and looked there. She said, Daddy, you ain't at home. Mama said, calm down. Mama said, calm down. You ain't at home. You got to hush. You got to calm down. You can't do it that way. Well, excuse me if I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Excuse me if I once was a meth head and now I'm set free. Excuse me if that upsets you. Excuse me. But I want you to know there's going to come a day I'm going to sit around that throne with them 24 elders and they're going to say, worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. I don't want them to out-scream me. And I'll tell you what, you listen to this, when he got before them 70, Brother J.D., there was 71, and they said them 71 that was sitting on that council, they got to where Jesus was, and he said, I am the Son of God. I am who you said I am. And you know what Pilate did? It said he ripped his own vesture. He ripped it. He was mad. He started screaming at him. And they said they spit on him. And I want you to know what Jesus went through. They said they were 71 men. And they could be 10 men under every one of them men. And they said from the time they started putting him on that court system to the end, every one of them went by. And when they went by where Jesus was, there he was his beard. There he was, the Son of God. There he was, your Savior. There he was, my Savior. There's my King. And all 700 men, they reared back and they spit in the face of Jesus. They spit in his face. Every one of them men reared back. And all they had, they spit in his face. And you know why he took that? He took that for you and he took that for me. Could you imagine the spit? Can you imagine the shame that the Son of God sitting there letting them spit in his face? You say, preacher, nobody will spit in my face. But they did Jesus. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. You don't think he went through hell? He did. Man, he did. Man, that gets all over me. It wasn't only the cross, but it was the shame that he took. Isaiah said they led him to the slaughter without saying a word. They reared back and he spit in his face. And every one of them would come by, took them all night long. It was a wrong judgment. They weren't even supposed to be meeting at nighttime. But you know what crooked people do? They meet at nighttime or in a dark place. You hear me? Somebody's wanting to lie on you, arrest you, accuse you or something. They ain't mad enough to come to your face. They'll talk behind your back. And when they got Jesus where he was at and he told them, he said, I am who you say. I am he. You know what they did? They got mad and they reared back and they spit in his face. Said there's over 71 men on that council. Every man could have at least 10 men under him as you went down the list. And every one of them had an opportunity to spit in the Savior's face. This morning you say, preacher, that's bad, but there's Christians that do that every day. There are Christians that do that every day of their life. Last night, I want you to know there are Christians that do that every day of their life. Last night, I got coming back from the wedding last night. I said, we'll go to Hamilton Walmart. That's where we'll go. We'll get groceries. Man, I was having a good time going to walk into Walmart, and there's one of my church members walking out with a case of Bud Light. You don't think that's spitting in the Savior's face? You don't think that's spitting right in His face? You don't think that's spitting right in His face? Friends, I want you to know He's worth more than that. He's worth more than that. He's gained more than that. He's done more than that. That's who I serve. He's worth more than that. You say, preacher, you've lost it. Thank God I've lost it. He's worth more than that. He went through hell for me. And I want to give Him my best. Man, it gets all over me. Man, the man that died for me, I want to live for Him. And I want you to live for Him. I want you to get a passion. But I can't give you that passion. I can't give you that. But I want you to know what I can give you. I can give you the truth. I give you the truth. I said, preacher, you're getting too excited right now. No, I just love Jesus. He said, He spit. Caiaphas went and he told Pilate. He said, Pilate, he's yours. I don't want nothing to do with him. I don't want nothing to do with him. Even though I'm the high priest, I know the Bible, I know everything. You know, you can know the Bible and go to hell. You can know the Bible and go straight. You can be on church row and die and go to hell. Jennison Franklin said this morning, every time, kids, you're on TikTok, that talk, somebody died. Every second, somebody dies, and your name's on that second, JD. My name's on that second. Everybody in this room, your name's on that second. You got a second, and you ain't got nothing. You can't do nothing about it. Appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Every time that clock tick, tock. Every time it tick, tock, somebody dies. They either die with Jesus or without Jesus. Man, think about that this morning. He said, I've got nothing to do with him. And he went to Pilate, and Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. He said, do you not hear this man talking Galilean? And Pilate perked up then. And he said, oh, wait, he's not in my jurisdiction. We're going to send him to Herod. I told you he had to appear before his foes. Folks, there's people that you're going to have to appear before. You may come a day in your life that you're going to be arrested for the blood of Jesus Christ. And I hope there's enough evidence on your life that you'd be arrested. If they went around locking up Christians, I pray they'd lock everybody in this building up. Throw the key away on all of us. Maybe they'd lock us up and put us over here. Huh? Lock us up and say, y'all got to stay in that church. But you know what he did? Pilate said, I have nothing to do with him. Send him to Herod. Verse number 8, you know what Herod said? Said Herod was exceedingly glad that Jesus was coming. Let me just tell you who Herod is this morning. I'm talking about a man that went through hell for you and me. Let me tell you who Herod is this morning. Herod is the one that killed his cousin, John the Baptist. He cut his head off, put it on a charter. That's who Herod is. Herod's daddy, you know who Herod's daddy is? Herod's daddy's all the one that killed all the male babies from 2 years down. You said abortion just come to the United States. Abortion's been when Jesus was. They just killing babies then, they killing them now. Is it right? No, it's not right. Let me give you this. Let me give you what he went through. He went and stood before Herod. He went and stood before Herod, the man that had killed his cousin. You know what Herod said? He said, I'm glad to see you. I was hoping you would do a miracle, or I was hoping you would perform for me. I got good news this morning. Jesus don't perform for nobody. He's not in the performance business. He's in the healing business. He's in the saving business. He's in the calling people to preach business. He's in restoring marriage business. Can I get a witness? He's in the one that's in pain and pressure and don't know how to get out. He's in that kind of business. But if you're looking for him to perform something this morning, he's not in that. He don't have to perform nothing to me, and he don't have to perform nothing to you. He's God, and that's just the way it is. He said, well, one day I'm going to make him God. He's always been God and always will be. In the beginning was. He's God, and he always will be God. You know what Herod did? It said in verse number 9, he vehemently got mad, started screaming. Started screaming to the top of his lungs. Sitting there silently as you are this morning, I wonder who in here this morning you're screaming to the top of your lungs. You are so sick and tired of living in the life that you're living. I tell them all the time, old meth head like I am, my salvation is useless without sobriety. What do you mean, preacher? Man, who set me free, set me free. And he didn't do that for me that he won't do for you. He said he vehemently got mad and started screaming. I wonder who in here this morning on the inside, you're screaming your lungs out. Help, man, I need help. I need out of this. Man, I can't keep living this way. I can't keep going this way. I need help. I need out. You see, Jesus was arrested for you. He was accused for you. He appeared before his enemies for you. But I want to stop right here for just a moment. He approached the Father at Calvary for you. Him arrested was nothing. Him accused was nothing. Him going before his enemies was nothing until he approached his Father at Calvary. I said, preacher, what are you talking about? When he went to Calvary, he went in my place and he went in your place. He said, what are you talking about, preacher? When he hung on that cross, it wasn't to satisfy you and it wasn't to satisfy me. It was to satisfy the Father. He knew it had to be this way, so he went to Calvary. So that you and I could have a life. Folks, this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you're not living. I can say that on authority of God's word. You're not living if you don't know Jesus. I'm talking about having a relationship with the King. Knowing that he is the one true King this morning. And I want to show you what he did when he approached the Father at Calvary. He was going up to Calvary's hill and couldn't even tote the cross. They'd done whooped him so bad. Took 39 stripes, save one. One more would have killed him. Why didn't they give him one more, preacher? Because that wasn't his plan to die before he got to the cross. He had to go to the cross. They seen one coming out named Simon Cyrenian going the other way. Jesus going into town, he's going out of town. You know what they did? They compelled him to tote his cross. You know what Simon couldn't do? He couldn't keep going the same way and tote the cross that Jesus was toting. If that's not biblical, being redeemed, set free, washed in the blood, I don't know what it is. You can't keep doing the same thing if you've been born again. So he started going toward the cross with Jesus. When he got to the cross, he got to the place of crucifixion. There was two other figures there with him, two other men. Two other thieves, what they had done accused Jesus of, being a thief, being a liar, being a cheat. They hung my Lord and they hung your Savior. They hung my Savior on the cross of Calvary. When they hung him on the cross of Calvary, it said, when it came time for him to give up the ghost, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Before he said that, he said, Father, forgive them. For they don't have a clue what they're doing. Eli, Eli, sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, was it the arrest that got him? No. Was it the punishment that got him? No. What got him? It was that God turned his back on his son. He could not look upon that sin. God had to turn his back. He couldn't look. He turned his back on Jesus so he don't have to turn his back on you and me. What are you talking about, preacher? Once you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, God don't have to turn his back. He sees that lamb that was slain, that blood that been applied to your life. So, preacher, that's a pretty tough week. And we think we have rough weeks. We wouldn't go through that week for nobody. You say he went through that knowing I was going, no. Listen. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, When you was in your sorriest, worst state, when I was in my sinful, worst, sorriest, no good state, that's when he hung on the cross. That's when he hung on the cross. It's Passover is fixing to be over. They take him down. Why they take him down? Because they done it wrong anyway. If anybody should have been arrested, it should have been them. If anybody should have been accused, it should have been them. If anybody should have had to stand before somebody, it should have been them. Can I give you something? They will stand before him one day. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Matthew 28, he said, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, very early in the morning, two women come. One of them was Mary Magdalene. What's so important about her? She's that one that Jesus, by the way, she had seven demons in her. He cast them out. That's why she come looking for him. If he's done anything for you, you'll be looking for him. You'll be looking for him. You say, man, where's Jesus? Let me get to where Jesus is. So very early in the morning they come, and that, you know what the angel says? He said, I know you was coming looking for Jesus, but he is not here. He is risen just like he said. Where's he at now, preacher? He's seated on the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for those that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Those that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. What about the ones that ain't washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Is Jesus going to come down and going to ask me? Listen to me this morning. The Holy Spirit's in this room. And what he does, he encamps himself around us. And he starts convicting on that heart, starts moving on that heart. Here a little, there a little. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Moving on that heart of that individual. You say, why, preacher? Because he went through so much for you and me. And you said, can everybody be saved? Everybody can. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will everybody be saved? Those that don't call on him won't be saved. What must I do to be saved? Here's your answer. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. So what are you talking about? You come to a place in your life, you say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. But I know that you are the Savior. I want you to come into my life and save me. I know everything that you've done, that I've heard about you is real. With a sincere heart, Lord, I want you to come into my life and be my Savior. But more than that, I want you to be my Lord. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, he went through hell for you, and he went through it for me. He literally did. He went to hell and got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. As the old story said, he went down there to get him. How more fitting than taking a thief with him off the cross? This morning, I want to ask you a question. If somebody did that for you physically, you was at a place in your life, I'm talking about in a place in your life, listen to me this morning, and you was fixing to be arrested, and you was guilty as charged, and somebody said, I got him. No, I got him. I got him. You was at a place in your life, everybody was accusing you of stuff. And somebody stepped in and said, I got him. Shh, I got him. And then it was time for you to appear before the judge. And he said, no, I got him. How would you feel about that? You know, there's going to come a day that Jesus is going to be the judge. And he's going to judge every man accordingly to what we've done with the blood. So the story was told, and I'll share this, and we'll have a song of invitation. Y'all ladies can be coming. Story was told of a young man that stayed in trouble all the days of his life. All the days of his life, he was in trouble. And every time he got in trouble, there's a young lawyer down the street. He called that lawyer up. And he said, hey, buddy, what's going on? He said, man, what have you done this time? Got a DUI. Can you get me out? Yeah, I can get you out. He'd get him out. Next time he called him up, man, what you got? I got a drug charge. Yeah, I'll get you out. He'd get him out. He just trying to help him. Well, the young man one day got locked up, and he called that number. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. There was no answer. Nobody answered the young man. It's time to go to court. The young man didn't know what to do. He's having to come apart, and he walked into the courthouse. And lo and behold, up over where the judge sits, the man he knew that always got him out of trouble. And when he walked in, he grinned up and he smiled. And he walked up to him and said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I'm no longer a lawyer no more, but I'm the judge." He said, "Man, can you help me now?" He said, "My hands are crossed. I can't do that. You had your chance. I can't do nothing about it now." He said, "No longer am I your lawyer and I defend you, but now I'm your judge." Can I say to you right now that we're all, saved or lost, is living under the grace of God. You are. The breath I breathe, the breath you breathe, it's not mine, it's not yours, it's His. He could tick-tock it right now and it'd be gone. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Right now He's your lawyer and He wants to be your defense. He wants you to call on Him so He can be your defense. But there's going to come a day He won't be a lawyer to those that don't know Him. He'll be the judge. And He'll say these words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Or He'll say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Does He have the authority to say that, preacher? Yes, He does, because He went through Hell Week. Let us pray. Father, I love you and I thank you. Lord, I don't know who it's for this morning, but you know. Father, you know who's living in turmoil. Father, you know who needs a touch from heaven. Father, you know this resurrection morning what they need. Father God, if this morning if they walked in spiritually dead, they need to be saved, Father, that that spirit that's in Jesus would live inside of them and they'd be raised up anew. Lord God, you put a new man in there. Father, you don't reconstruct the old man, you put a new man. And Lord, this morning I pray for whoever that is this morning that you'd move on that heart. Lord, I pray this morning that you would touch that heart. I pray the Holy Spirit would soften that heart this morning and we'd understand this morning that Jesus Christ, He went to Calvary for us, and on that third day He rose out of that grave that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Whoever it's for this morning, I ask the Holy Spirit, like a shotgun, go straight to that heart. Like a rifle, go straight to that heart. Pierce that heart. Lord God, there'd be no doubt who you're talking to this morning. Father, I ask you to do your work in this place. The greatest time of the whole service is the time of invitation. We ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say, I ask you to stand as we sing.